Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel 15, verses 12 to 31. First Samuel 15, 12 to 31. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you, I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spare the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroy the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to him, "I will not go back. I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you over as king over Israel." As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind." Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this passage, and I pray that you would speak to us today. And yeah, we just come before you as your children, and we ask for your blessing and your presence upon us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are finished with the journey, and we are finished with the Passion Week devotionals. So until PSAM comes back, he's in Korea this week, spending some time with his father. So until he comes back, I think we'll just pick different passages that we've been going through. Me and Pastor Salamat and Pastor Sophia will be doing the devotionals in the morning. And 1 Samuel is something that I've been going through the past few weeks. And this is one of my favorite stories to read about in the Bible. I just love reading about King Saul and King David. And whenever I read about the two of them, I feel like it's such a contrast between the two figures. You know, it's like in literature, you know, you put one character and you juxtapose this character with another character, and they're supposed to work as a contrast to show a little bit more about each of the characters. And I feel like this is what this book does with King Saul and King David. They're such opposites when it comes to the way they deal with different situations. And Saul, I think, is such a tragic figure. No one ever names their kid Saul, you know? Everybody names their kid David, but no one names their kid Saul. And I think because Saul was he just had a lot of issues. He had a lot of brokenness, and it's just almost a pathetic figure to read about if you read through 1 Samuel. But I kind of like King Saul. I like meditating upon him, and I like reading about him. And I think it's because I can identify myself. I can relate to King Saul because he has a lot of weaknesses. And I can see those weaknesses in myself. So when we read about King Saul, we can learn from him, learn from what he has done and the mistakes that he's made, and we can grow by studying him. And Saul's major weakness, I spent a lot of time thinking about Saul and studying the life of King Saul. And I think his major weakness was that he had a deep insecurity about himself. Saul is very, very insecure, had inferiority complex. He just felt bad about himself. Even in today's passage, the way Samuel describes him in verse 17, Samuel says, "Although you were once small in your own eyes." And that was his weakness. Saul's weakness was that he was small in his own eyes. Whenever he looked at himself, he couldn't overcome this sense of weakness, this sense of insecurity. And he felt like he was nothing. And so if you read through 1 Samuel, if you remember, the day that he is announced to be king, Samuel gathers all Israel and he says, "This is the king that has been chosen by God." And the lot falls upon Saul. No one can find Saul because he's hiding behind some barrels. He's too ashamed. He's embarrassed. He's shy. He doesn't want to come out and to take the place of king. He's hiding behind some barrels. And then after he does become king, there's a time when Israel is gathered and they're about to go into battle. And the enemy is gathering around them. And the people of Israel are there, the soldiers, and they're ready to go into battle. But they're waiting for the word of the Lord. And they're waiting for Samuel to come. Because Samuel said, "Hey, I'm going to come to you in 7 days and we're going to offer up this sacrifice. And then we're going to go into war." But the enemy is gathering, and the people are looking at the enemy, and they're saying, "What's going on? Where is Samuel? You know, are we gonna fight? Are we gonna lose? What's going on?" And so Saul, instead of waiting for Samuel, he offers up a burnt offering to the Lord, which he is not allowed to do because he wasn't a Levite. But right when he's like done offering up to the Lord, Samuel comes and says, "What are you doing?" And Saul confesses. He says, "You know, the people were scattering. I was afraid that I was going to lose them." And see, it goes back to his insecurity. He doesn't have the strength in himself to say, to put his foot down and say, "No, we're going to wait for the Lord." Instead, he listens to the people and is afraid that the people are scattering. The people that he's supposed to be leading are not maybe following him. So he says, "Okay, I'll give in to what they want to do." And again, he reveals his weakness. There's another part when they're in battle and he makes this foolish decision. He says, "Everyone, you're going to fast until we defeat the Philistines." And it's such a bad decision. Everyone is tired. They're in battle. They're fighting, but they're weak and they can't, revive themselves. But I think it's just an example of Saul trying to assert himself. You know, he's overcompensating for his insecurity and weakness inside of him. So he says, "Everyone, I'm going to make you all fast, and you're all going to fast with me. You're not going to eat or drink anything." And it's just a foolish decision that comes out of his weakness. In today's passage, what's going on is God wants the Israelites to basically bring revenge on the Amalekites for the things that they had done. And the Lord commands very, very clearly. He says, you're meant to destroy everything. Cattle, sheep, people, everything in this land you're supposed to destroy. So Saul goes on this mission and destroys everything. But at the end of the war, instead of destroying all the cattle and the sheep and everything, he keeps back some of them. He keeps back what is good, the good cattle, the good sheep. And Samuel hears about this from the Lord and he confronts Saul. And Saul makes an excuse. He says, oh, no, no, no. I did obey God, but I just kept the good stuff, you know, because we wanted to sacrifice it to the Lord. We wanted to bring the sacrifice to the Lord. So we kept the good stuff. But Samuel knows, right? So he says, you know, Lord doesn't, he's not pleased with sacrifice. He's more pleased with your obedience. And then after all the kind of the judgment that comes upon Saul, then he reveals his true heart in verse 24. He says, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Again, this is his insecurity and his weakness coming out and saying, ah, I didn't want to disappoint the men. He struggled with the fear of man, but it came out of his deep insecurity, the way he viewed himself. He saw himself as small in his own eyes. And so he didn't have the guts, he didn't have the strength within him to say, no, this is not what we're going to do. So over and over, if you read through 1 Samuel, as you read about King Saul's life, you see this kind of this weakness coming out in different sins and mistakes that he makes. After David is anointed and God uses David mightily in battle and different things, Saul grows deeper and deeper in his jealousy and his anger, which all kind of stems out of this issue. So Saul had a major weakness. Saul's weakness was that he saw himself as very small in his own eyes. But I don't think Saul is unique in his weakness. I think many of us, if we were honest with what is going on in our hearts, we can identify with Saul's weakness. You know, we can say, yeah, sometimes I do that too. Sometimes I also feel very small in my own eyes, and I also struggle with these different things. And it might not be that exact weakness like that Saul struggled with, but we all have different weaknesses that we struggle with. We all have different tendencies towards different sin and different vices that we find ourselves quite weak towards. So I have a good news and a bad news about weakness. And let me begin with the good news. The good news about Saul's weakness is that God still chose Saul to be king, right? His weakness did not disqualify him for God's work. So what we need to learn is our weakness doesn't disqualify us to do God's work. In 1 Samuel chapter 13:13, Samuel reveals to Saul that God, initially, he was going to establish Saul's kingdom for all time, which is the same promise that he makes to David, but because of Saul's disobedience and sin, that promise gets taken back. But initially, God says, I had chosen you. You know, I had chosen you, Saul, to be king, and your generation to be king for all time. So even though Saul was weak and he struggled with this thing, that didn't disqualify him to be a leader in the kingdom of Israel. And God was going to still use him. And so that's good news for us. God can use us despite our weakness. And so, yeah, don't let the enemy lie to us. You know, don't let anyone lie. And when we feel like we're weak and we struggle with different things, God can use us despite that. That doesn't disqualify us for doing God's work. But I do have the bad news. The good news about the weakness is the weakness doesn't disqualify us. But the bad news about our weakness is that the weakness does not excuse us for our disobedience. Right? I mean, if God knew that Saul was weak, when I read about Saul, sometimes I say to God, God, you're a little unfair. Like, you know that Saul struggles with this kind of thing, and yet you picked him to be king. You put him in this position. Like, what are you doing? But what I can gather from this is that, you know, his weakness didn't excuse him for his disobedience. You know, when he was called to lead and God gave him that calling and the ability to lead, Saul had to be responsible. He had to walk in obedience. So his weakness is not an excuse for his disobedience. And because of his weakness, he kept giving in to fear. He kept giving in to, you know, feelings of depression and the lies from the devil. But weakness was no excuse for disobedience. And it's his disobedience that eventually disqualified him for God's work. You know, so, you know, coming back to our own lives, our weakness is not a disqualification for being chosen by God to do his work. But you can't make that an excuse. You know, you can't say, oh, but I'm just weak. I struggle with this. You know, this is my area of weakness. So God will understand if I keep messing up in this area because I'm weak. You know, that's not an excuse. You know, Saul was disqualified because of his disobedience that came out of his weakness. And so what could Saul have done, and what can we do in our weakness? You know, God calls us despite our weakness, but weakness is not excuse enough for our disobedience. So what could Saul have done, and what can we do? The most tragic part about King Saul's life is not that he was weak, but that he didn't turn over his weakness to God. He didn't trust God with his weaknesses, and he tried to do it on his own. You know, I think he tried to overcome the sense of insecurity on his own. And where I see that is in the story that I said about him calling everybody to fast. He's trying to assert himself and trying to put himself up and saying, I'm going to make everybody fast because we're going to do this thing. We're going to go to this war. And another part we see in today's passage in chapter 15, in verse 12, we didn't read that today. Oh, no, we read that. Verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone down to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. So this Saul has set up a monument in his own honor. I think Saul, deeply insecure, he set up this monument. He's trying to overcompensate. He's trying to fight this weakness on his own and trying to assert himself and trying to make himself feel like and look like he's not weak. But it just, it doesn't work. So I think this is probably the greatest contrast between Saul and David. You know, I mean, David, if you read about David, is like, wow, he's such a man of courage and boldness. He was a warrior. But it's not like David didn't have his own weaknesses. You know, David also had weaknesses. You know, we know about him and Bathsheba and different things where he, you know, takes up a census of all the men in Israel because he wants to know, you know, how strong his kingdom is. And there's different things that David does that shows us, man, David was also a man that had weaknesses. But David didn't make that an excuse to keep disobeying. Instead, he turned over his weakness to God. He kept going to God with his weakness, and he kept trusting God first to forgive and then to strengthen him to walk in obedience and to lead the people. Instead, what Saul does is he tries to do it on his own, and he fails to turn over his weakness to God. And this is a great quote, which I think we should all remember. It's from Pastor Sam. He might have gotten it from somebody else. But weakness not turned over to God becomes wickedness. Now, weakness not turned over to God becomes wickedness. So we are all weak. We all have different weaknesses. We all struggle with different things. But, and the good news is that weakness doesn't disqualify us
for doing God's work. But the bad news is that that weakness is not excuse for us to be disobedient to God. But I guess the better news, or the best news, is that we can turn over our weakness to God, and He can use us, and you know, He can lead us, He can strengthen us. I mean, over and over again, David messes up. But every time he goes to God, that's where we see Saul, he makes up excuses. When he's confronted, he makes up these excuses and says, no, we were trying to sacrifice to God. You know, we kept the good stuff because we wanted to sacrifice. And he makes up all these excuses. Whereas David, when he's confronted, he just admits it. You know, he says, man, I messed up. I really, really messed up. And he goes before God, and punishment comes. But David says, I messed up. And he accepts it. And then he asks for forgiveness. And then he moves on. And I think that's his heart of, you know, that's the evidence of him trusting in God with his weakness and turning over his weakness. So just something for us to meditate upon, you know, this morning. Whatever it is that you struggle with and whatever your weakness is, and I, you know, many of us probably do struggle like Saul. We feel small in our own eyes. And I'm sure David had that too from time to time. You know, running away from Saul and the people, you know, rejected him. And then his own son rejects him at one point, if you read his life. But I think we see through the book of Psalms, with David pouring out his heart to God, that that's what he did with those feelings of insecurity and weakness. He kept going to God, and he kept trusting God, and he kept turning it over to him. And that's what strengthened him to, you know, be called a man after God's own heart. So this morning, Eunice is going to lead us in a time of worship. And let's just go before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in this time about King Saul, about our weakness. And let's just turn over our weakness to the Lord in faith and trusting God that He's going to forgive us and He's going to strengthen us through all these things that we are called to do for Him. So let's go before the Lord.
Surprising gift of rest. to know the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you.
Let's go before the Lord and let's just thank Him. Let's thank Him as we were singing this song just about the righteousness of Jesus that's imputed to us. You know, let's just thank the Lord that in our weakness, that He is our strength and He is our power. And it is, you know, His righteousness that we can count on. So let's just go before Him and thank the Lord for His goodness and the work that He has done on the cross. And let's just praise Him. Let's turn to our community focus for our prayer. Let's lift up those of our Solomon's Porch family members that are going through cancer. Let's pray for God's power and let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray for those that are going through chemo therapy. Let's just, you know, pray for strength and God's presence upon them. And let's pray for Jane Chong, our missionary in China, or her brother-in-law, Vince. Let's pray for the bone marrow match for the transplants. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those that are struggling with various illnesses, but they also need salvation. Let's pray for God to move in them and that He would reveal himself to them. Let's pray for mercy and grace. And if you could lift up Monica and Trish, their grandmother passed away, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. So the parents are flying over to Korea, and Mon's going to be flying over to Korea today. So you can pray for the family and pray for, just pray for her parents, that God would meet with them. So let's pray for them as well. So let's pray together. Let's go to our third slide. Let's pray for our family members just going through various illnesses, various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come, God's encouragement to come. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters at church that are looking for employment. Let's pray for God's favor upon them. Let's pray for faith in their hearts, that they won't waver in their trust in God. And let's pray that God would really encourage them in this time. And as they have a lot of time, let's pray that they will be able to really make the most of their time. So let's lift up our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for mission focus in China. Pray for the Beijing church. I heard they had an amazing time. We had a team from Cascade and Well that went to Beijing and they had a great time. Let's just praise God for what's going on there, and let's continue to pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and their family and Chris and Amy and all the other leaders there. Let's pray for the Chong family. Please pray for Matt and my parents in China. Pray for the Basaraba family. Pray for Leanne Cheng. Pray for Edie Clark and the Chuchihar kids. And let's also pray for the Xijiang trip. They're coming back on the 4th of April. Let's just pray that they have, you know, for the rest of the trip, maybe 2-3 days. Let's pray for real power of God and fruitful ministry, and pray for the team to be healthy, to be united. So let's cover that trip. So let's pray for China together. Let's pray for our staff. Please pray for Pastor Sam and Pastor Eugene. Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol are in Hawaii for John Moon's wedding. Let's pray for a good trip. Pastor Sam and his family are in Korea, seeing his dad. Bonnie is in Xijiang right now. Kenny is in Beijing, coming back today. And please pray for the rest of us, just so that we will fall deeper in love with God every day. And then we will just be strengthened. We'll hear from God very clearly. So let's cover the staff together. Let's pray for the worship team and the audio video team, AV team. Please pray for us. Pray for a heart of worship and a real desire to serve. And also that the whole worship team and the AV team would fall deeper in love with Jesus. So please pray for the worship team. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house churches. This week we're on break, but let's just pray for the leaders of these house churches for a good, restful week. And when they start back again, that it'll be really a powerful time of meeting together, sharing together. So let's just pray for our house church ministry at church. Father God, thank you. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your power, your goodness. God, I just want to lift up our brothers and sisters looking for employment. God, I pray against fear and hopelessness. And we just want to thank you that you're going to do good things, God, in their lives, God, and you're going to lead them to your favor, God. You're going to lead them to the right places, Lord, and there will be breakthrough coming soon. So we want to pray with faith and hope, God. So Lord, we lift up our friends and family at SP, Lord, going through this period, and we just pray with hope and joy, God, with faith, God, that you're gonna move, Lord. And we lift up all the other prayer requests. I thank you that you hear our prayers. I thank you that you are with us, that you are so faithful, and yeah, that none of our prayers are in vain. So, Lord, we thank you. Help us to have a great week, Lord, just coming to you and spending time with you. And I pray for our people here, God, as they go through their day. I pray that they'll walk with you, that the presence of God be with them so strongly throughout this day. God, we love you and we praise you, God. You're such a good God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.